Okay, it's always this chus to be together, to learn Torah together, to grow together. Unfortunately, we're still on Zoom, but Baruch Hashem, we still have Zoom, so we could learn and we could grow. During these Heilige days of Pesach, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's the first time we're having a woman's shir during Chol HaMoed Pesach that I recall. So there's some maila in everything we're going through. At least we could learn Torah together. We could be mechazik each other. It could be very, very special. Before I begin, just want to say that all the Torah tonight, all the chizik tonight, all the zoras tonight, is being sponsored by a family, a couple that I'm very, very close to. Mamish feels more like family than talmidim and talmidot. But Bez Hashem is Baruch. B'shatayv mislachas. They're expecting a child soon. And every time, one is zoichet to have a child, and b'shatayv to have a child, it's a tremendous miracle. It's an incredible miracle. And we daven that everything should go well, that it should be a leida kala, it should be in good health, and easy, and with no difficulty. And during these times especially, hopefully Bez Hashem is Baruch, these times that we're going through should end very quickly. But Emetz Hashem, all the learning, all the chizikol Zorah should be for a big schus, for their child, for a leida kala, for Lana, Leah, Bas Yocheved Bela, Emetz Hashem, b'shatayv mislachas, only simcha and only bracha. So we're preparing now, we're already back to being Erev Yontiv. The last day of Chol HaMoed, preparing for the last days of Pesach. The very end of Pesach, there's a minog on the last, on Achron Shel Pesach, to have a suda, to have a meal at the very end of Pesach. What would we be Shal Shudas time? It's not Shal Shudas, it's not Shabbos, it's Yontiv. At the very end of Achron Shel Pesach, the very end of the last day of Pesach. And that meal has many, many different names. It's called Sudas Mashiach. Halavai, we should be zoich to be greeting Mashiach this year. Sudas Baal Shem Tov. Sudas Hagra. Ne'ilas Hachag. Ne'ilas Hachag means the end, to close in the Yontiv. Many beautiful names. I'm not going to go in and explain them all right now. For many years, we've had the minog to have a very special Suda here with Talmidim. Still davening that should happen this year. If there's so many different names, it must be that time and the end of Pesach has so much koach, so much ability, so much energy, so much power to it. Because a name, as we've spoken about many times, is one's essence. And if the very end of Pesach has so many different names, it must be there's so much to tap into. So much to connect to, and so much energy and koach and hisoris. So much that we could be uplifted by these final days of Pesach. You know, at this Leil Seder a few nights ago, and to some of us it feels like a long time ago, Leil Seder, so we had the Dalet Banim. One of the Dalet Banim was the Chacham, the wise son. We all aspire to be like the wise son. Or maybe by the end of tonight, we'll see really one of the other sons. The Chacham comes and he wants to learn halachos, and what we tell him is a very strange line, if you paid attention. Ein maftirin achar ha-pesach afikomen. You know what we teach the Chacham? You're not allowed to eat anything after the afikomen. The afikomen should be the last taste in your mouth. You know, you weren't allowed, okay, the halacha's passed. But you weren't allowed to eat anything after the afikomen. We still drink the 2 cups of wine. But as far as achila, physical food, you weren't allowed to eat after the afikomen. Why is that the halacha that we teach the Chacham? Of all halachas of Pesach, that's so crucial, that's so important. The idea of ein maftir achar Pesach afikomen is that we want the taste of the afikomen, that taste of freedom, to be lingering, to stay with us. We want it to be lasting. We want the whole taste of the Seder to stay with us. And so too, what's most important, all the halachos and all the chizik, all the inspiration, all the mitzvahs of Pesach, Narin Chometz and Matan, all the preparations and Leil Seder and the Yontiv we're about to go through, Shvi Shel Pesach, is that it should stay with us. that we should take away something from Pesach. It's not enough that we just live through these days and keep the laws, but we should walk away different people, walk away inspired people, walk away with the taste of Pesach on our tongues all year long, Be'ez Hashem. In what way? What thoughts, what feelings, what should we keep with us? So I once saw a beautiful idea from Shalom Dov Ber of Lubavitch. He was the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, known as the Rebbe Rashab. He said the following. He said, if I told you, far, far away, there's a place that tomorrow all the water of the sea over there is going to split. It's going to literally, nisim gluyim, miracles upon miracles, the whole sea is going to split. Would you not make sure to do anything you can to travel there? You travel miles upon miles. Of course. Who wouldn't want to see such a grand miracle? What if I told you, literally 15 minutes away, there's a sea and it's going to split. Would you not make sure to go there? Of course, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want to see such miracles? He said, every one of us can experience those miracles. Because when we celebrate a Yontiv, and we're going to celebrate the Mirz Hashem tomorrow night, Shvi Shel Pesach, the seventh day of Pesach. The seventh day of Pesach is the Yontiv of Kriyas Yamsuf. The Yontiv of the splitting of the sea. It's when we were leaving Mitzrayim and Hashem split the sea from us. Something we talk about literally every day in our davening, as we say Az Yashir every single day. That incredible miracle. When we were standing at the Yamsuf in the Mitzrim, the Egyptians were running after us, wanting to kill us. And suddenly, the sea opens up. Imagine grand miracles, seeing Hashem in front of your face. There's no doubt. That miracle that happened Shvi Shel Pesach, it wasn't just then. We don't, when we celebrate a Yontiv, merely commemorate the past. But we relive. It's happening again. It's happening again, and those nisim, that Gilui Shechina, those miracles, that revelation of Hashem, is in the air. Some will be blind. Some won't see it. Some won't feel it. But those of us who are sensitized and understand cannot just remember, but relive. And we must believe, each and every one of us, that it's happening again. Geula is in the air. Hashem is by our side. And we can tap into that. We have to believe that at any moment, Hashem could reveal Himself. And let's be real. Hashem is by our side every moment. Would we be breathing the air we breathe right now? Would we be able to see? Would we be able to hear? Would we be able to eat? To talk? I know there's so much that we miss right now. And there's so much that we're yearning for Geula, but so much also that we have. And all that we have is all we know only because Hashem wills it. He's by our side. And we have to believe we're reliving through Geula now. So we have to believe in it again. And believe it can happen at any moment. And even though we're in the darkest of hours these days, and over the last month it's been a very dark time, and there are many people that need big refuos, and unfortunately there are many people that need nechamos, that have lost loved ones. And we're going through difficult times, but we have to believe just like then, Hashem split the sea and took us out of Mitzrayim, so too at any moment Hashem could do the same. And we're reliving that time so that we could remember and know that Hashem always is there for us. You know, just a few days ago, we all sat like kings at the Seder. And we felt what it is to be free. And we went through all the mitzvos of the night. One of the mitzvos that we did was that we drank 4 cups of wine. Dalid kosos. We leaned. We all know why we drink dalid kosos. The 4 cups of wine are connected to the 4 dalid lishonos of geula. Akash Baruch Hu. And the Torah has 4 languages of Geula, Bilakachti, v'gaalti, v'otzesi, v'otzalti, taking us out of Mitzrayim. There's really a fifth ve'evesi that he brought us to Eretz Yisrael. That one we're not zoicha yet to drink. That's the kais sh'olio that we're yearning and hoping b'karov b'yameinu will be on the wings of eagles very soon. That one we're waiting to drink. Four cups of wine connected the four languages of redemption. But why four cups of wine? You know, everybody enjoys different types of food. Why not? Maybe it should be four pieces of filet mignon. Delicious, best cut of steak that you enjoy. Or whatever food does it for you. Why four cups of wine? Why is that what represents the four languages of Geula, of all the different entities that could have been? We could have eaten something else. Four, fill in the blank. Whatever, four of your favorite food. That's kosher for Pesach. Why four cups of wine? Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says an incredible idea. So as one drinks wine, so you enjoy the wine. It's a nice time, it's a nice taste, but it's more than that. It brings every person, as we know, there's alcohol in the wine. And it brings person a little bit of light level of Simchas Achayim. A level of happiness, a level of joy. And the derech of wine, the way of wine is, every cup, every glass that you drink elevates your simcha to another level, to a higher level. So one cup of wine, it brings me some level of happiness, of joy. The second cup, I'm in a different place. By the fourth cup, I'm just living it up. The enjoyment of the wine is constantly growing, each cup. It's not just the same enjoyment again four different times. So too was by the Geula of Mitzrayim. There were levels of Geula. Each of the languages of Geula was a different level of Geula. Hashem took us out physically. And then Hashem took us out emotionally. And Hashem took us out spiritually. Hashem took us out financially. As we know, we walked away with all the wealth of Mitzrayim. Each was a new level, a higher level of redemption. And therefore, we want to remember that and commemorate that. We commemorate that by being involved in drinking four cups of wine, where each cup is another level of redemption, another level of freedom, a higher level of Geula. It's constantly growing, and all Pesach long it's growing until the culmination, which are the final days of Pesach, Kriyas Yamsuf, and we leave Mitzrayim, the final redemption, the highest Geula. We're about to celebrate that Geula. We're going to celebrate that Geula again, relive that Geula again, and yearn for the Geula in our lives in the same way. I want to share with you an incredible Torah. An incredible Torah that hopefully could help us understand how much so we have to believe that the Geula is by our side and can happen at any moment. Biderech Klal for all of Klal Yisrael, or Biderech Prat in our individual lives until that time comes. There's a medrash by Kriyas Yamsuf. And the medrash there says, where it says, Vayibaku Hamayim, Vayibaku Hamayim, and the water split. Vayibaku is Lashon Rabim, in plural. And they split. What do you mean they split? It was one place, the Yamsuf. It should be Vayibaka. The medrash famously says that all the waters in the entire world, in the entire Welt, all the waters split. Why was that so important? Why was it important for all the waters to split throughout the entire world? That's question number one. Secondly, we have to understand something. If you go through the psukim, you find time and time again the language of splitting in the Torah, in Oz Yashir by Chris Yamsen, Parshas Beshalach, is that language we just quoted, Vayibaku, Baka, Bekia. Bekia means to split. But we don't call it Bekias Yamsuf. What do we call it? We call it Kriyas Yamsuf. The splitting of the sea. Kriya also means to split. But that's not the Torah language. Why do we call it Kriyas Yamsuf if the Torah called it Bekias Yamsuf? Why not use the same language of the Heilige Torah? Why do we change to Kriyas Yamsuf? So I want to share with you something very special. Chevra, Bekia and Kriya both mean to split. But they actually mean something very different. When you take something that's Bekia. Bikia means to split something that was never split before. It was whole, and you split it in half. That's bikia. It never was split before. That's what it means to do a bikia. So, for example, if you take, I don't know, you take an orange, and that orange grew on the tree, and it grew whole, and you went and you split it in half, you do bikia of that orange. Because it was whole the whole time, you're splitting it for the first time. Kriya also means to tear, to split. But kriya is splitting something that was already initially split. And now you're splitting it back. So if you take, for example, many different pieces of garment and you sew them together to create a jacket, and then you tear the jacket, you're tearing something that was initially many pieces brought together and now splitting again. So kriya is a secondary splitting, something that was previously split, as opposed to begia, which is the first time. So listen closely, chavra. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the sea that was always one, that Yam Suf was always one, and Hashem for the first time is doing a bikia. And He split the sea. Why do we change it and call it the kriya? Because then HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the sea back together. Now it was already split once. And what does that mean it was split once? It doesn't have to be the literal sea. I mean, one time in the life of Klal Yisrael, Hashem did Nisim Gluyim, revealed miracles to save us from a terrible situation. We were in the lowest of low physically and spiritually. We were in slavery, enslaved by Egyptians, being tortured daily. Spiritually, we're on the 49th level of Toma. And Hashem, Keherifayim, with the blink of an eye, Kriyas Yamsuf, or I'd say Bekiyas, for the first time, He split the sea and He took us out. So we say and we call it Kriyas Yamsuf because we understand that was the first time. And Hashem put it all back together. But we daven and we hope and we believe that it can happen again. A Kriya means it's re-splitting. Something that was split once and it's going to split again. Meaning for us again, there's going to be another Gula, another Gula, another redemption. There's going to come a time where it doesn't seem plausible, it doesn't seem possible, and it seems like it's only going to have to be revealed miracles, and there will be revealed miracles. And Hashem will split the sea for us again. And every time we say Kriyas Yamsuf, we're remembering that Hashem could do it for us again. Hashem could do it, Begashmi or Baruchni, in the physical realm and the spiritual realm. We have to believe in that. That's true on an individual level. We have to believe in Kriyas Yamsuf. And remember, just like He did it then, which was the first time, Kriya, it's going to happen again. And we have to believe in that. On our individual level, if a person individually is suffering, has people in their family, lo aleinu, that are sick, that are suffering, someone suffering financially, is going through this hard time that we're going through, someone suffering emotionally, having a very hard time with everything, and being alone and being home, someone suffering in all ways that we can suffer individually, Kriyas Yamsuf. I have to believe Hashem could bring Ula at any moment. And I have to believe in that. And spiritually as well, Beruchnis as well. If I'm suffering in my Judaism, I'm not davening the way I want to be davening and should be davening. I'm not doing as much chesed as I know I can do. I'm not helping people in the way that I can. I'm not dressing the way I know I should be dressing. Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem could help me. And I could have a geula in that as well. And for Klal Yisrael and the world as well, I know the hour seems so bleak and so dark. Kriyas Yamsuf reminds us, it could split again, it will split again. It's just a matter of when. And it's Hashem who runs the world, not us. We can't do anything. We have no clue. The doctors have no clue. We have no clue. The world has no clue. Hashem understands what's going on. Hashem, at any moment, want the vaccine? It could be here tomorrow if Hashem wants. Want Mashiach to come? It could be here tomorrow if Hashem wants. But this could all end. We have to believe in that. Kriyas Yamsuf. It's going to end, and there will be. The Yont of Geula, the Yont of Emuna, we have to build that and know that. And Kriyas Yamsuf is going to happen again. What a Torah, you hear? Why we call it Kriyas Yamsuf, not Bekiyas Yamsuf. What a Torah, what a chizik. What a mindset that each and every one of us needs to live with every single moment of our life. want to read you something I read earlier today. This individual wrote this, who himself lived through it, in Uganda. In Uganda, in the country of Uganda. He writes as follows. At Passover, every person is supposed to feel as though he himself left Mitzrayim. Chayiv Adam Liris Es Atma Kilu Hu Yatame Mitzrayim. For me and the Jewish community of Uganda, we do not need to imagine. In our lifetime, we were rescued from slavery and saved by divine intervention in order to celebrate. When Field Marshal Idi Amin Dada took power in Uganda by way of gun in 1971, he outlawed Judaism and confiscated our synagogues and most of the Hebrew books. Practice of Judaism was punishable by death. He was a modern-day paro. He gave the community two alternatives, either convert to Islam or Christianity, or remain unaffiliated. He murdered anyone suspected of opposing his rule and judicial executions were the order of the time. Many feared for their lives and converted to two majority religions, Islam and Christianity. However, things did not go well for the Christians either. Their archbishop was run over by an army truck. The chief justice was shot dead. Growing up during this era was a hard pill to swallow. Adults and children would shout insults at Jews. No one did anything to stop them. We were not permitted to wear any Jewish symbols, including kippot, nor were we allowed to appear anywhere near the synagogue premises. We dared only to pray and learn under the cover of the night in one bedroom, in our bedrooms. My father, Rabbi Yandav Keki, was caught studying Torah in the sukkah that he had built in the backyard of our house, and only survived after the arresting officer demanded a bribe. Three leaders of the community were arrested and tortured for collecting iron sheets that had been blown off the roof of the Moses Synagogue. That same year, when a hijacked plane full of Jews was held at Entebbe, very famously, we all know, by Palestinian terrorists with the permission of Amin, a fast was secretly declared and silent prayers were conducted, each family praying in their bedrooms. The daring rescue of the hostages gave hope to some community members that sooner or later Amin would go. Listen to this, Chevra. This came to pass on Wednesday, the 11th of April, 1979, corresponding to Yud Dalet Nisan of that year, Erev Pesach, when the new government comprised of Ugandan rebels and Tanzanian troops declared freedom of worship. This was considered a miracle from above and was celebrated in a special style. More than four cups of 80% proof Uganda banana wine were served, making everyone excessively happy. By the end of the Seder, no more than 300 of nearly 3,000 earlier members remained steadfast and loyal to Judaism. Which makes me think that had Amin's regime continued for another 5 years, the community would not have survived. Chevra, do you hear? He goes on, but do you hear? Modern day Pesach in Uganda. We're tortured. We're persecuted. And nothing's by chance. There was a Kriyas Yamsuf. And no, there was no water that split. But just as big a miracle, literally on Erev Pesach, they're all saved. And until today, they have a community of Yidden there, living their lives as Jews. Because the Eibishter performed Kriyas Yamsuf. Not Pekiyas Yamsuf like the first time in Pesach, but a Kriyas Yamsuf. And we have to believe it can happen for each and every one of us, individually and collectively, at any moment. We have to believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's always by our side. Our job, with that belief, is to do our part. Our job is to do our part. Our job is to do our part, to be inspired by the Yontif, to grow, to always be working ourselves a little bit more than the way we walked into Pesach. To serve Hashem a little bit more. To be a little bit closer. Now the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos, Das Samach Beis and Beis. That seems to be a contradiction to Gemara and Megillah. The Gemara and Megillah that tells us the Talmidim of Eliezer ben Shemua, it's Gemara in Chav Zayin and Beis Megillah. The Talmidim of Eliezer ben Shemua asked him, why were you zoche, why were you lucky enough to live long days? Why would you zoche d'arichas yamim? One of his answers was, very famously, I never made the Beis Medrash, Beis Knesses, into a shortcut. Kapandaria is the lashon in the Gemara. Kapandaria. You're not allowed to use the shul as a shortcut. Halavai, we should be zeicher to go into shul. But you're not allowed to use it as a shortcut. If you go into shul to daven, it's to learn, not to cut through the shul to get somewhere else. That's what the Gemara there says. But the Gemara in Bracha says, Hanichnas lebeis knesses amanas shlo lasa kapandaria. If you went into shul, not thinking you're going to use it as a shortcut, you went in thinking you're going to go daven, you're going to go learn. Mutter lasosa kapandaria. Then you can make it into a shortcut. Okay, that we could understand. Again, that wasn't your first mindset. Once you're in there, you don't have to go out the same way, you can go out the other way. There's a girs in the Rif, a different text that says not just it's allowed to use it as a shortcut, but it's a mitzvah to use it as a shortcut. Why would that be? Why would it be that if you go into a shul to daven, and then you decide you could go out and use it as a shortcut, even though that wasn't your mindset, it would be a mitzvah to use it as a shortcut. I understand it's permissible now because you didn't do it for that reason, but why would it be a mitzvah? It's like a wonderful thing to use it as a shortcut now. Rav Melech Birim in Shlita, Rav Melech says so beautifully, if you go into shul to daven, to learn, to get inspired to be close to Hashem, it's a mitzvah not to go out the same door. If you're going to using it as a shortcut, means you're going out a different door. It means you're a different person. You should go out a different way than how you came in. That's what the deeper meaning of the Gemara is. Don't go out the same way. Don't go into shul and daven and then walk out the same entrance. If you're the same person, I just happen to have davened. You have to go out a different door, be a changed individual. So too, we're not zoyche to be in shul or into the Beis Medrash these days. But we were zoyche to live through a Pesach. We can't go out the same person. That's our job. Once we develop this amunah and believe in a Kriyas Yamsuf, and believe that Hashem is by our side, our avod is I can't go out the same way. I can't go out the same way. I have to be a different person. But what does that mean? And here I want to share something so beautiful. What does it mean to be a different person? What does it mean to be a different person? Because sometimes we have these grand ideas and think, if I'm a different person, I have to be Echvesish, like Rebbetzin Kanievsky. And then I start thinking like that, and it's too grand. I'm never going to be a tipa v'yam, a drop in the ocean of Rebbetzin Kanievsky, so I don't even start. Or I'm in the middle of reading the book about Rebbetzin Youngreis. You should all read it. It's incredible. And you think, if I'm changed, I have to be like a Rebbetzin Youngreis. Halavai, we should aspire to be like these individuals and to grow. But it's not that I have to be them. So what does it mean that I have to grow, that I have to walk out a different person? Sometimes my aspirations are just too grand, so I end up doing nothing. So let me tell you what it means. Very simple. Simplicity. You know, we mentioned before, we read it at the Seder about the Dalad Banim, the Chacham, the wise son, the Rasha, the wicked son, the She'enu de Lishol, the one who doesn't know how to ask questions, and the Tam, the simple son. So surely the Rasha is a wicked son. Surely the Rasha we want no part in. We don't want any chelik of the Rasha. She'enu de Lishol, someone who doesn't know how to ask questions, lacking skills, lacking abilities. It's also not someone we aspire to be like. Most people think, who's the leader? Who's the one that I should be like? The Chacham, the wise son. So this past Pesach, Lel Seder, my Bechar, my Tzaddik, Shmuel Yaakov, he shared with us a beautiful insight that I can't stop thinking about. Shmuel suggested that the greatest of the Dalad Banim is not the Chacham. The Chacham, of course, had certain qualities that are important, but the Chacham sometimes can be too analytical. And the Chacham sometimes can be too thought out. That everything must fit in perfectly, and if it's not perfect, I can't do it. I have to understand every little thing before I do this action and take that step. I have to understand it, I have to know it's going to work out. I have to, with Chachma, with wisdom, with intellect, with logic, a little bit too analytical, a little bit too thought out. Sometimes we just have to be simple. Maybe the tzaddik. Remember, none of the four are called the tzaddik. So who's the tzaddik of the Dal Banim? Maybe the tzaddik of the Dal Banim is the Tam, the simple son. And what is a simple son? The simple son is someone who just follows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, just tries their best to keep Torah mitzvos, tries their best, and that's like he tries their best to daven with kavana, tries their best to do chesed, tries their best to learn every day. Simplicity. And even when I don't fully grasp, I don't fully understand why and when, I try to grow in that, but I know there's a will of Hashem, I have emunah, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I do it. I do it. I don't need everything explained, I don't need halavai, if I understand it, great. Simplicity. That's what the Eibishter wants. To be like a Yaakov Avinu, who the Torah says was Ish Tam Yoshev O'alim. By Noach was a Tzadik Tamim Haya B'dorasav. How does the Torah exemplify? How does the Torah tell us who were the Tzadikim? Someone who has Tam, someone simple, pure. Just following the will of Hashem, doing what we're supposed to do. Without being too thought out, without questioning. Halavai, we could also question after and understand deeper. First and foremost, just be a Tam. That's our avodah. To walk out of Pesach with such strong emunah, such emunah in Hashem, emunah that He's by my side, emunah that'll bring Gula. So what do I have emunah in His mitzvos, in His Torah? I have emunah that that's my job. Tam, I'm just going to do that to the best of my ability. Came to me a big matana. We said before, the avodah is to make a kapandarya. That we go into Pesach and walk out a different door, which is a shortcut, right? Kapandarius, I want to walk in one way and walk out a different way. And now we're explaining in what way? Tam, just be simple. Kapandarius is Gematria 445. Exactly Gematria Ha-Tam. The Tam. See, I have hey, Vishter, you can't make that stuff up. It's all from Hashem. Torah Hashem Tamima. Torah Hashem Tamima. Milosh and Tam. The Torah is Tam. Yes, it's perfect, it's complete, but it's just simple. Tamima. To be Ishtam Yoshev Ha'alam. Like Yaakov Avinu, we're Bnei Yisrael. To just simply follow Hashem. Believe in Hashem. Be close to Hashem. Live with Hashem. Live with this Emunah, this Gula. And whatever we're getting going through in life, believe at any moment it could all end. Just like those Yidden in Uganda, who probably for years had no idea where the gula is going to come from, where the light's going, but it came. On Erev Pesach, no less. And we as well, in our lives, in the world's life, this everything we're going through is going to come to an end, Bez Hashem, and hopefully it'll be Bekarov, and we have to believe, and in our individual lives, whatever we're going through, physically, spiritually, emotionally, at any moment it could come to an end, we have to believe that. Our job? Tam. Simply believe and follow Hashem. You know, during the Holocaust, there was a group of women from France that were taken in cattle cars. Some were sent to their deaths immediately to concentration camps, and some of the women were sent to work camps. Even though at first they didn't believe it, they were told to pack things, but they didn't know where their ends would be. But the army, the Nazis, Yimach Shamam, they needed women to sew. And to make uniforms for them. So they told these women, whoever could sew, whoever knows how to make a uniform, you're going to live. And we're going to allow you to work in this factory they brought them to. And they were going to feed them and take care of them. Not so well, but better than the others. And they're going to live. They were the luckiest of them all. And the Nazis lined them up and said, whoever could sew could be here. But one thing, you're going to work 7 days a week, long days, 14-hour days, 7 days a week. I know you guys keep that Sabbath, you're not doing it here. One young woman steps forward. And she says, I'm sorry, I can't do this. He says, what, you don't know how to sew? Then you can't be here. No, I know how to sew. So what's the problem? We're being really nice to you. The Nazi, the officer, is screaming at her. With the voice of terror, he says, no. I keep Shabbos. He says, you don't understand. We're going to kill you. If you don't sew 7 days a week, that's your choice. And she says, it's okay. I keep Shabbos. I'm not working 7 days a week. Imagine. And I'm not saying this is not halachically, of course, you could work as pikuach nefesh. I'm not getting into that right now. Although there might have been at that time, Shasa Shemad, I'm not getting into halacha, this is a story. And it's a true story. She said, I'm not working on Shabbos. The Nazi couldn't believe his eyes. And he now moves back a little bit. And he starts talking to the entire group. And he says, every single one of you will be working 7 days a week. Except for this young woman. Since she believes in her God, and she believes in her commandments, and she's willing to die for them, I respect that. She doesn't have to work on Shabbos. And Kachave, so it was. That woman didn't work on Shabbos. And that woman survived the Holocaust. And that woman was such a tzaddikess. She was zoicha to marry the Gadol Hador, Rav Aaron Leib Shtayman, zeicher tzadik kadosh v'racha. She became his rebbetzin. On some level, you can look at this, obviously, I mean, incredible, the Mesiras Nefesh, the self-sacrifice for a mitzvah. But ultimately, you know what she was saying? I don't make all the cheshbonos, all the calculations and thought out. I keep Shabbos. I don't overthink mitzvahs. I don't overthink belief. I don't overthink God. I'm a Jew who keeps Shabbos no matter what. I'm sorry. I keep Shabbos. I keep kashrus. I dress with tznias. I do chesed. I daven 3 times a day. I bench. I do whatever I can to serve Hashem. She was tam. She was simple. No calculations, no deep thoughts. Because once you start thinking about it, but I know the halach is, and it, no, tam. And she lived through the Holocaust. And she married a Gadol Hador and built Torah in Eretz Yisrael. That we're all living from, and we've all, in a certain way, from Gedolim, we don't even understand how, been inspired by, because of her tamimistik, her simplicity, in her avodas Hashem. Chavri, each and every one of us should be zoiche, as we prepare for Shvi Shel Pesach, as we prepare for this Heilig Yontif. We said it, the suit at the end has so many names, we have to understand how powerful, how special, how holy these days are. To connect to them, to connect to the Muna in the Geula, in the ability for Hashem, just like then he did Bekia, he split the sea, he could do Kriya at any moment, he could re-split it for each and every one of us at any moment. Until that point, we have to do our Avodah. And our Avodah is just Tam, be a Tam. To simply serve Hashem. And that Tzchus will be Zoicha, to Geula, to Refua, to Yeshua, for all who need Bekarov right now. And Mir Tashem, ultimately, the Sudas Mashiach will bring us to the ultimate Mashiach with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Bekarov B'Yameinu. And we have a Heilig Yontif. Mir Tashem, next time we'll be Zoicha not to be on Zoom, but be together in person, learning together, growing together, very, very, very soon. Have a beautiful Yontif.